Chapter 5. Laurel always enjoyed the drive to Lambertville. At exactly 27 minutes, it was the perfect length for thinking things through. Sometimes she worked out a plot point for her book, or she would consider some issue in her life. The last time she'd driven there, she had used the passing scenery and the quiet. She did not listen to music or the radio when she drove, to try and take stock of her marriage. It wasn't easy. She and Jeremy had met and fallen in love at such a young age. They'd been idealistic, and in those days, she never doubted he would be a star. She'd seen herself accompanying him on red carpets, shielding her eyes from the flash of cameras and deflecting questions from paparazzi about their personal life. At the same time, in those days, she had imagined herself accepting a Pulitzer Prize for journalism. Or was it fiction? She'd been undecided then which writing path she wanted to take. In the end, she'd done both. Her books were clearly fiction, but they'd given her a way to tell the stories of people she'd known and grown up with. A sort of hybrid journalism, with the who, what, when, where, and why being asked and answered about the friends and neighbors she'd grown up with in small-town Michigan. She'd changed their names and fictionalized the town, but she knew who they were, and most of them did, too. The years passed. Jeremy never got anywhere near a red carpet. There was no nomination for a Pulitzer, but she had written a book, a damn good book, and it had set everything in motion. After they've moved to New York and she'd started working on her novel, she felt something was off. She didn't write about New York City. She wrote about a place very far from it. And it didn't take long before Jeremy's dream of signing playbills outside a Broadway theater began to dim, then disappear altogether. "Why are we staying here?" she'd asked one night. They'd had a dinner of Thai takeout from a favorite go-to place two blocks away. They ate at home a lot, trying to save money while Jeremy did temp jobs, and Laurel took on proofreading and editing gigs for writers she knew who weren't any more successful than she was at that time. "In this apartment?" Jeremy had replied, "because we can't afford a one-bedroom. You know that." She did not suggest they move to an outer borough, which is what they'd considered the last time this subject came up. "I mean here, in New York. Is this really where we saw ourselves in 5 years?" Jeremy's face had fallen. He looked up, calculating in his mind. "It's been that long, hasn't it?" Then, with his usual optimism, or obstinance as Laurel saw it, he shrugged it off. "It's coming, babe. I've got a callback for an understudy part." Laurel had let it go. Pursuing it further would only agitate him. And she was writing every day, she'd had to admit that much. She was completing a first draft of her book, and she could afford to believe things would change soon, for a little while longer at least. Then Jeremy's father had died and left them enough money to buy a car and consider moving. By that time, Jeremy had experienced a dozen more rejections from casting directors. No understudy roles, no commercials, nothing but small parts in off-Broadway plays. He'd grown disillusioned and was veering toward bitterness. Laurel had brought up moving again, and he'd grasped it as a lifeline. It was New York's fault. It was this stifling city, this overpopulation, this grind, this sea of competition. Yes, he'd agreed. Moving was the solution. And so they had. It seemed like a lifetime ago, although it had only been a few years. They'd taken Uncle Martin's recommendation and looked for houses in New Jersey. He'd suggested Lambertville, where they would be close to him and Frank. While Laurel and Jeremy loved the artistic town, with its restaurants and galleries and its views of the Delaware River, it was pricey. That's what happens when a town becomes popular, and Lambertville had gone from being down on its luck after its industries had died or gone elsewhere, to being a sort of bohemian enclave where hate has no home, as the ubiquitous lawn sign said, and acceptance was the cultural currency. A house on one of its tree-lined streets could go for $500,000, easily, and that was for a fixer-upper. They'd contacted a realtor Frank knew in a much smaller town called Strickland, and everything had taken off from there. They'd bought the house in the woods, sold it, and moved into their very own custom-built home. Laurel had given birth to Isabel, and shortly after that, The dreams had begun. That's why she was going to Lambertville now, to finally tell someone about the dreams. And not just someone, her trusted therapist, the woman who'd helped her face the immediate demands of motherhood. Laurel had quickly learned that a baby changes everything, forever. Nothing takes precedence over your child, and the realization had overwhelmed her, or so she'd come to believe after a half dozen sessions with Poppy. Now she needed to talk about her nightmares. Could they be some kind of residual post-postpartum anxiety? And most mystifying, why did they feel more like memories than dreams? She wanted to understand it, hoping that once she did, the dreams would stop. Her life was good. Her child was healthy. Her third book was all but guaranteed to be a success. Her marriage was stable. There was no reason she could pinpoint for why she was having these strange nightmares. That's what Poppy was for, and why Laurel was relieved to pull up to the curb in front of the therapist's house, park her car, and head up the walkway. She'd been here many times before. It was a safe space. It was also, she hoped, a place for answers, looking deeply into herself to find them.